The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, doctrine of prayer. Turn in your Bibles to Luke 11. God the Father desires those that worship Him to worship in spirit and in truth. All other worship is fake and fails to accomplish the end result, which is believers being exposed to truth under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, so that they can be conformed to whatever topic or subject that is before us. This is the critical subject of prayer, establishing for the believer an understanding of how important it is to be on top of your prayer life and always engaged in legitimate prayer based on Scripture, based on your understanding of the subject. It is easy to neglect this area in your Christian life, and if you do, then you are vulnerable as a believer. So it's a part of your defense and orientation to God's plan to have a prayer life and to be consistent in this regard. So in that regard, if you need to rebound under the principle of grace, simple rebound restores you to fellowship and enables you to appreciate the information before us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together in these perilous times. We thank you for the truth, the light necessary to work our way through these final days. Thank you for this assembly, and bless our time together in the things considered, in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer as a subject, like all subjects, must be taught, and in the information about prayer is to be found, of course, where all other information is to be found, in Scripture. Jesus set an example. His example in prayer prompted the disciples to request a lesson on prayer, Luke 1:11. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, and we see constant references in the gospel accounts to Jesus' prayers or praying, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John," that's of course John the Baptist, "also taught his disciples." So in consistency with all of this, it is important for the spiritual leader to teach people about the subject of prayer. He answered their request, and so they were asking for wisdom regarding prayer. Of course, the James verse is simply, on any subject, you are to ask for wisdom and to pray for wisdom. He had taught his followers how to pray. John had. Okay. For the model prayer, not the Lord's Prayer, it's a technical but important point, the model prayer is given as a guide, an introduction, if you will, to prayer's content. Judge yourself and see if indeed you have this in your content anywhere in your prayers. So the model prayer is found in verses 2 through 4, as it is recorded in the Luke account. And he said to them, "When you pray, say." So see, this is a lesson and a prayer. It is not a prayer that this is all you're to pray about, obviously, but it's an example. It is a small example of prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. This is acknowledging God as set apart from all others and acknowledging his person. Your kingdom come. We get to the prophetic aspect of praying for the coming of the Lord, the establishment of the heavenly kingdom on earth. And then we get down to something practical for everyday life. Give us our daily bread. We need food to survive, and so we are to pray for that. And forgive us our sins. This relates to the fact, the awareness of our sinful nature asserting itself and petitioning God to do what he is going to do. You'll notice here in these prayer, in these petition, individual petitions, God's going to do this anyway. There's not a question about whether his kingdom's going to come, whether you pray for it or not. It's going to come. But it's nice and it's wonderful for you to be involved in that awareness. And one could even say that you're going to get your daily bread if you don't pray for it, because many people are being fed and taken care of. But it shows your commitment and your trust in God to pray for this. You understand the ultimate source of it. The ultimate source of your living grace is God. Whatever is set up down here to make that happen for people, it is God who gives and makes this happen for us. It's something we should never take for granted. And forgive us our sins. All right, if we rebound, we're going to be forgiven. If we are on top of that and utilize that, we're going to be forgiven. Short of that, we aren't forgiven. So, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. So the model prayer is an awareness prayer. It's designed for you to check yourself on any of these points in the prayer, in the file, in the prayer file, starting with the praying for the coming of the Lord and your desire for that to be realized, regardless of when the believer lived in human history. We're just at a special time with regard to that petition. And, of course, praying for your living grace, that's verse 3. And verse 4 is an awareness that we sin. We are thankful that God has provided for us a way to step clear of any recent sinning of any kind at any moment, wherever we're at, any sin. We can use 1 John 1:9. So again, God is going to forgive us of our sins if we implement the 1 John 1:9 principle. He's probably going to provide you with living grace even if you don't pray for it, but you should pray for it. If it was tested in your life, you'd be praying for it. If everything's fine and everything's just moving along, people tend to take it for granted. We are aware of that whenever we say grace. We are aware that God brought this another instance of feeding our body necessary to sustain life. We are making that knowledge, and we're thanking him and we're asking him to bless it to the nourishment and health of our bodies. Now, as far as forgiving others who are indebted to us, it is worded in Luke's account as a kind of awareness factor. If you're not willing to forgive others for their wrongs directed at you, and you want forgiveness from God for the sins you commit against his plan, then that doesn't work. You've got to be ready and willing to forgive people as Christ has forgiven you. And then lead us not into temptation. Well, we're going to be tempted. Temptation is going to come. You cannot avoid temptation. But he is referring to the fact is basically to deliver us. And there's different kinds of temptations that have different consequences. the temptation to completely abandon the truth and walk away from it is there. Other type of fleshly temptations exist. So we are asking God to keep us free from the kinds of things, and that you have to do over and over again, like all this, the kind of things that can drag us down. And to be very conscious of that fact. Next follows a parable that emphasizes another aspect with regard to prayer. Persistence in prayer. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, I'm going to, who does that? But anyway, it's not a good time to be, quote, bothering somebody for something like this. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing yet to set before him. Now you might relate to that and think, well, how's that work? But it's designed as a storyline to illustrate something. And from inside he answers and says, see, there's a request made for a specific item before a friend. The person who is raised out of sleep by this friend inside, he answers and says, this is a picture of the believer praying to God, and the do not bother me, the door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed, I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So that's just basically with regard to certain prayer things that you where you don't get an immediate answer, it just seems like you're not getting anywhere with it, you just keep it up. If it's legitimate, if you can determine it's legitimate. It's legitimate for a friend to take care of another friend who has come on a trip and he has nothing to set before him. So there follows analogy. A prayer promise follows in verses 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask, see, and it will be given to you. Some things are a simple matter of asking. All of us have had experiences where we prayed for something on the spot, for something, and boom, it was there. And it doesn't have to be something monumental, obviously. It's just something you ask God for. Help me get through this situation I'm in. Give me the strength to do this. Give me a handy parking spot. I mean, that isn't trivial. I mean, it is in the human realm, but it is not something that should be, oh, don't bother God with that one. Don't be putting that in front of God. Don't think like that. Think like everything. We don't do it like we should. We do not. We get into situations and we don't pause and shoot up a simple prayer. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out. It's about the situation that you're in. You're having trouble getting this thing put together or whatever it is. You just ask, and sometimes I have it happen regularly and it just falls in place. And I know why it fell in place. Not because I'm clever, not because I'm real good at this. It's because God blessed me figuring out how to do it. He did it for me. Even sometimes beyond my own, what I think my capacities are. So, the first area is simple asking. It'll be given to you. Seek. That's more intense. And you will find. Some things, in order to arrive at them, you have to do some seeking to get to that point. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, And he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, it will be opened. This is more like opening a door to some situation in your life that is a barrier to you accomplishing something in your life. So there is a prayer promise. If you ask, you're going to get it. It's also in the Bible. If you don't ask, you're not going to get it. In certain instances, it's not going to happen. You cut yourself off from that. And then seeking for an answer, for a solution, for something, that's another matter. It's higher up the ladder. And knocking is you're intensely wanting some situation to be opened up for you. Again, presuming that what you're praying for is not a violation of Scripture. Then there follows an analogy between a father and his son to encourage us not to be reticent in petitioning our Heavenly Father, verses 11 and 12. Now, suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish, because that was one big food item for them, for a fish. He will not give him a steak instead of a fish, will he? Or he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? God will not give us things that are harmful to us. If we ask for the right things, then he is going to give us this request. And then he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and you do, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit for those who ask Him? He gives a specific example here. This example is related to the age of Israel and asking for the Holy Spirit. Now, this will come up later in Jesus' ministry when He tells the disciples to ask for the Holy Spirit, which they'll finally get around to doing in the upper room. And boy, will it come on the day of Pentecost event. Now, we don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit. We do not. We pray to be guided by the Spirit, enlightened by the Spirit. We don't have to pray for the Spirit. We have the Spirit. And we don't pray to be filled with the Spirit. If we're in fellowship, we're automatically filled with the Spirit. We may pray to be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit in our thought processes and so forth. That's fine. True prayer is something very personal and specific. Jesus taught his disciples, again, to address God as Father. We all ought to be past the nonsense of addressing God other than God the Father. Now, you can say Lord, because God the Father is Lord. So, you're to address God as Father. Prayer's protocol, which we'll notice again. Believers are taught to bring their request to God as a son to his Father again. This elicits childlike trust on the part of the believer. Think of these things as you who have children are related, and they ask you for things and make requests. And you, if you're a good parent, you analyze that request and process it and give accordingly as you're directed by God. But you do listen to the requests of your children. And you process those things and figure out what is appropriate at this particular point in time. You don't treat them like, well, you're bothering me. Childlike trust on the part of the believer. Their make term for Father is Abba, Romans 8:15, Galatians 4:6, found twice in the New Testament. It's a particularly affectionate form of address, like our Papa or Daddy, where the more formal request is Father. Abba Father. Usually, in these contexts, it's dealing with the believer under intense pressure, and he cries out to God. As a child might cry out to his parent if they're in a difficult kind of a situation, or they presume that they are. Think of God as a parent for whom you make some specific request. C. The supplicant's assurance that his or her prayers are heard are even stronger in the New Testament. We have an interesting verse, Matthew 11:24. Another aspect of prayer that keeps it where it needs to be is you have great faith in God. You have faith that He is going to help you. Believe that you have already received it. So some things, have you been there? Okay, I asked for this, I'm going to get it. They're that simple. It's going to happen for me. True prayer has great power. It provides, there is, in the salvation adjustment, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now I teach, that all you got to do is believe in Christ. But a person may call on the Lord for salvation. They're already there, by the way. So whoever in the parable, or not the parable, the story of the Luke 18, in the story of the two, he set up this parable. It was a parable. He told them this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. There are people like that. That they're okay. And they're not okay, even at the level of salvation. And viewed others with contempt. Self-righteousness. There's your perfect example of the self-righteous type who views themselves as okay and looks down on other people. I've had them in this church. They hold themselves up. But here he's dealing. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the self-righteous guy. And by the way, he is completely corrupt. He doesn't even have salvation right. He's building his righteousness, righteousness on his own works and deeds. And the other, a tax collector. Now, that's two extremes. Both are Jews, by the way. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. What? I don't think any of you in your right mind would say something that off the wall. I'm just so glad I'm not like other people. And then he lists the stuff. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. This guy, this is like some extreme, you can't make this up. But really, there are people of this mentality that actually, Jesus can break these people down so fast. The Scripture can break them down once you get down there. All the kind of things the Pharisees were into. Ripping off widows. Oh, that's real righteous. Thought nothing of it. They're all the scar tissue, all this practice. This is a particular category of humanity that thinks that they're fine, and they build their righteousness on the unrighteousness of others. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, see, he wants to throw up his overt deeds of was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, notice both of them are in the temple. And I would presume in this storyline that both have been exposed to the tax collector realizes he's a sinner. He realizes it. He has a sharp realization that he is and that he's unworthy as a human being for the approbation of God. God, be propitious literally, to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified. Doctrine of justification by faith. He walks out of there justified, saved, to begin a new life, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself, that's for all of us to recognize, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's the formula. And that's as an additional lesson off of this. Again, without going to it, prayer provided the church with the Holy Spirit. They followed instructions, they went to the upper room, and they prayed, and the day of Pentecost happened. And here we are. The new age was born. The church age officially was underway. And these 120 believers were in the upper room doing what Jesus said, praying. It prepares us for the day ahead. Well, that should be obvious. You've got to have some kind of prayer and realization of what the day ahead or tomorrow is going to bring. And at some point, pray about your function during that day and all the things you can put into that. Because it's going to make a difference. Imagine the believer that does not do this. It just goes about their business. Well, they can get through things, but it's much better to have prayed about it, to pray about the day ahead and the different things involved. In the early morning, while it was still dark, that's in Mark, Jesus got up. I'm not saying you have to get up at 3 in the morning or 4 or 5, but you need to have some time where you pray out ahead of your day. And he's perfect, but he still needs to pray because he's got another day ahead of him. He's going to be tempted. He's got to maintain his spiritual status quo to be qualified as the Savior. And all the things he's got to do and all the things he's going to confront. So he prays as a human being. He does not take for granted, because he's the Son of God, I don't need to pray. His humanity was dependent, like ours is, on putting our cares and our prayers before God. He got up, left, and went away to a secluded place so that nobody can bother him, interrupt him, and was praying there. And Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him and said to him, everyone's looking for you. Like, you're not where you're supposed to be. But that's the immaturity of the disciples at this stage in your life, not recognizing who they're dealing with completely. So it's kind of like he's kind of being chided here. And we're frustrated, and we're all looking for you. We got things to do. We got a big day ahead of us, and all that implications of this, as if Jesus didn't know what he was doing. Jesus didn't respond to that. What's the point of it? You got to choose your time to rebuke people. You really do. Some things they say stupid stuff. You just ignore it. And you roll on. You got to know when to do that and when not to. This was not an... Jesus was going to make a big deal of it, try to explain to him the importance of prayer and his own life, and I'm the Messiah and all the rest of it. No. We got to go somewhere today. And he said to them, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so I may preach there also. For that's where that is what I came for. All right? The next one is necessary to surround all activities with prayer. We don't do it as we should, but we should. And the believer that does it has the definite advantage. There's the advantage of knowing doctrine, without which we're all in a bad way. But it also means that the believer who is consistent and persistent and is praying, and they don't have to be in a form, they can be anywhere and be praying. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Get in fellowship, and with this in view, be on the alert. Alert for what? All kinds of stuff. With all perseverance and petition for all the saints. That's praying for others. And pray on my behalf. I have a specific prayer request. He brings in a specific prayer request. And pray on my behalf. He's in prison, of course. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which he was imprisoned and for which he was under the gun, and he was going to have to give an account. Of course, he would be released from this first imprisonment, but still, he was going to have a hearing, and he asked them specifically as a group to be praying that when that moment came, he would the words would just flow. Now, Paul knew the gospel. He knew how to defend it, but it's different. When you're in a specific situation, this can be thrown and that can be thrown, that you just pray that Paul followed the principle that I'm not going to spend, you know, the day before worrying about what I need to say. I'll be given the words. But you still pray about it. Give me the words, because he is defending the faith. This is a big audience. Christianity is on trial. It's not just one man under the gun. Christianity is being maligned and is on trial, and he is praying that God will give him, and asking them that God will give him the words for the occasion. And maybe you've had an experience like that when it just flowed. You had the right words. You had the right information to present to someone. It's pretty exciting when you go. It's a high. You get through with something like that, you know you were in fellowship, you know that it was clicking, you were clicking with the Holy Spirit, and you were giving an answer, even under where you have opposition. We don't think about these things like we ought to. If opportunity comes to witness, to provide information for people spiritually, that you're in fellowship and God blesses your words. You don't have to have a ton of words. You don't have to have a whole lot of stuff. Sometimes a small statement is enough. But that's conditioned by the what is involved, and you're able to field it and give answers to people if you have an opportunity to do so. It helps us to overcome our anxieties. And are we ever beset by those if we allow ourselves to be? And this is a great prayer thing that I've referred to numerous times. Well, there's just all these exhortations and things thrown out here. Imagine trying to do all these things and be this way. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Keep your eyes on God, the plan. When I'm down and I'm out, what helps me to get back on track is to start thinking about the spiritual things. And getting my eyes off of, oh, this is wrong and this is happening and all the other stuff. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. You don't have to be brash and harsh with people. The gentle approach, rather than the overbearing and all this. There's a place to be stern, but there's a place to be gentle. It helps diffuse people too. They're all worked up. Just give a gentle answer. Just give the truth. However they act, they act. Be anxious for nothing. That is a kind of a high order, which I haven't attained to yet. But I still have the exhortation, so that this is in my heart when I'm under anxiety attack, so to speak, when I'm under this kind of pressure, I am to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Prayer is basic prayer. Supplication is the more intense version. With thanksgiving, don't leave that out of your recipe. You left what out? And all your requests and all the things you're asking for, remember to have constant references and thanking God for things. Get your little list if you need one. There's so many things to be thankful for. Thanksgiving is a tonic. It helps you overcome stuff. Thank you for this test. Thank you for whatever I'm under. You're working it all together for good for me. When I get my eyes off of that, then it's, here we are. Let your requests, plural, be made known to God. Now, He already knows what you're going to pray before you pray it. But still, you need to put it out there. You need to put it out there before the throne of grace. It gives you comfort. I put it up before God. It's before the throne of His grace. And if I need to, I'll put it up there as many times as I need to, because I'm going to be persistent in this. I'm going to keep praying about this. Instead of what we usually do, or a lot of people do, is they just finally give up on it. And they quit. Because God can work things we can't even imagine out for us. Well, I prayed about that over. Keep it up. Try again. Get in fellowship. Knock. Tell God, I prayed about this over and over again, which you already know. So I'm not informing you of anything. But here I am under the gun, and I'm praying, and here this is what I need, and this is the help I need. Obviously, your will be done. That's always the final line in things. Not mine. But still, I'm praying for this because you told me to. It might relate to your health. It might be related to your job, some relationship, something you're going to have to face, something here in Maranatha Church. Whatever it is, continue to be there and pray about this. And the prayer promise is, if you can do this, you'll eventually find that place where you're at peace. I'm relaxed now. Now I know that can be upset by the least little thing come flying down the road. So you have to be, keep your armor on, stay in fellowship, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, it's hard to define it when you really experience it, will garrison, guard, your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because that's where we get all like this, about things and situations. Because you're going to face things that aren't pleasant. You're going to face things that are threatening. Whatever it might be. Get yourself in fellowship about it. Take charge of the situation, if you will. Rather than letting the situation take charge of you and drive you in the ground. So you're looking for a pill bottle or something. Or a shot. That's not the answer. See, because you are going to have things come in front of you. And, what am I going to do now? There's so many, you couldn't even begin to cover all of them. Your piece of equipment breaks down just when you needed it. Well, pieces of equipment break down all over the place. Even with people that take good care of their equipment. So it's just something, you have to roll with it. You have to get to the point, in my day, if anything doesn't go smooth, I can deal with it. You will help me deal with it. An irate customer. Any number of things. They're too numerous to mention. That can hit us in the course of a given day. You need, obviously, to have prayer in regard to this quest we're under. And that's reaching maturity in time. You don't take this for granted. So many people have been on track with that didn't make it. Now, it isn't because of anything God won't do for them. He knows your heart. He knows your desire. If you've lost a zeal for this, then you're in trouble. that you can regain it. I've seen people here. I see it all the time. It's a bane of my existence. I have to learn to deal with it. Up and positive and away we go, and then boom, they're in another place. So many times, so much. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings. Again, Paul's in prison. Always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers. It's a part of the labor of, say, a pastor for his church. He's laboring in prayer. We know what labor is, work is. So you labor in prayer for the royal family that you are responsible for. And, of course, there's a big aspect of prayer. It's a complete mystery. But that said, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. So that's a general prayer request, that you all come together and be assured with regard to the doctrines being communicated. That's the basis for unity in a body, without which you don't have that kind of unity. You'll never have perfect unity because you have people at different states that you have no control over. I have no control over. It is used to overthrow nations, Matthew 21 and 22. It will usher in the Lord's return. We've already been there. It alters the weather, which we've been having fun with lately. I don't think you've been praying for rain lately. It's the too much rain thing. All right, well, the next part of this deals with where people yawn, and that's it. But it does illustrate this Roman numeral 2. It does illustrate the vast, the significant vocabulary of prayer that is found. And obviously, I'm not going to take all your time and look all these verses up and show you all these examples. But to note the Hebrew group, we have kaleo, to entreat. It occurs only in the PL stem. It is used of seeking the Lord's favor. When used of the Lord, it usually involves prayer for mercy or help in a time of threat, that you're under threat. Call on him if you're under threat and danger. Call on his name when you hear the sirens go off. Or you can faith rest it and go to bed. Or you can get out in your car and run around the street and find a safe spot to put it. Like a chicken with his head cut off, with all the rest of the people out there going 90 miles an hour all the wrong way. You ever been there and done that? Don't raise your hand. Relax. Try to anyway. Keep praying. Help me to have peace. Quit being stupid. God, under this threat of horrible bad weather that the announcers on TV are completely freaking out. And people sit there in front of that and just get themselves stirred up to no end. Can't change anything. This is time. You better get in your cellar. I don't have one. Well, get in a safe place. Where's that? Okay. I think it's laying down in bed. That's a safe place. That's my safe place. God's going to take care of me. And I just have to put my trust in Him. We live in an environment where there are these kind of threats from the natural order of things. And write it out. What can you do? You're not to be afraid. If you are afraid, you need to rebound. Get yourself in fellowship. So you have that advantage that the people out there on the street typically do not have. You hear them talking about these things too, and how frightened they were. Another word for supplication, 24 times. praying for God's grace, it means mercy. Half the occurrences appear in Solomon's prayer in the temple dedication. Tikkunah, supplication, this is always used in the plural, similar to the preceding word, but represents the outpouring of a troubled soul. And it is used in parallel with weepings in Jeremiah 3:21, 31:9, where things are really intense. Palel, to intercede, occurs 84 times. 80 times in the Hithpael and 4 in the PL. The word and its counterpart below are easily the most common words for prayer in the Old Testament. Palel. That's the verb. This is best illustrated in Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple, where the root occurs 30 times in these chapters alone. 1 Kings 8:28. Yet have regard to the tepila of your servant and to his supplications. Tekina. O Lord, my God, to listen to the cry and prayer your servant prays before you today. And this is a dedication of a temple. He isn't under any particular threat, as far as I can tell. He just feels the pressure of all of this at this point in history of his life. Tepila, as I said, Sha'el, to ask, inquire. Over and over again, it's used of individuals asking or failing to ask God for guidance. David, a man after God's own heart, many times inquired of the Lord. Yet in Joshua 9:14, the leaders of Israel asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Isaiah 31:2, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that have not asked at my mouth. She'ilah, request or demand, 15 times. It is used specifically for Hannah's intense prayer, that's the mother of Samuel, for a son, for a child. She was childless. She's praying for this. Intensely praying. Going to the tabernacle. Repent, constantly praying. It wasn't happening. See, that was one of those ask, seek, and knock type things. Finally, her request was made. It was to test her. And look what she got. She got Samuel. She got that believer. Not just a son. The noun occurs, this noun and the last one are nine. Mashiach only occurs twice, but both verses are most significant. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The Greek word aiteo, basic verb to ask, aitema, a request or a demand. This is, the noun means the thing asked for. Deoma, I, to ask or request. The nuance of the word group is urgency based on some pressing need, as per those verses. Deasis, a request, entreaty. As with the verb, urgency is the emphasis of the noun. Sometimes in the prayer, urgency is the order of the day. Things are intense. Entuxis, intercession, petition, prayer. Use of prayer to a superior. Teria. Originally the word was used of a strong request for petition, once found in the New Testament. He, Jesus, offered up prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death. This is in connection with his ultimate test. How did he deliver him from death? He died. He was resurrected. That's the path he took. And he's under this intense temptation with regard to the cross. Prosukomai, to pray. This verb represents the most comprehensive term for prayer in the New Testament. Prosuke, that's the noun. All kinds of prayer. Yukomai. The verb is a simple form of prosukomai and occurs six times. UK, prayer, oath, vow, so forth. Erotao, to ask a question, request. and to Kaino to intercede, and Huper and to Kaino only once, 8:27, for the Holy Spirit's praying, which we'll get to. When you're praying and you're struggling with things, the Holy Spirit is beefing up your prayer, putting it out there in a perfect form. That's a real great prayer promise. You don't have to have it all stated perfectly. When you're under extreme pressure, it seems that you're almost speechless. Eucharisteo, to be thankful. That's an aspect of prayer. Then there's the noun, point 15. And there is thankful, the adjective, point 16. All right, prayer basically in the Old Testament was taught via the tabernacle. Let's take our break. We'll start back at 11. We will dismiss at half past so we can get everything ready for our picnic, to which you are all invited.